This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 30th, 2011. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The open meeting of June 30th will reconvene. Thank you for staying to watch the rest of our very interesting agenda. The next advisory opinion on our agenda is 2011-12 by Majority PAC and House Majority PAC by Mark Elias, Ezra Reese, and Jonathan Burkon. We have late submitted documents in this advisory opinion. Vice Chair Hunter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of agenda document numbers 11-37A and 11-37B.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 6-0. Mr. Lutz, please proceed when ready.
Thank you, Chair Bowerly, and good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 11-37, 37-A, and 37-B respond to an advisory opinion request filed by Majority PAC and House Majority PAC. The committees are non-connected independent expenditure-only committees. They ask whether federal candidates and office holders and officers of national party committees may solicit unlimited funds from individuals, corporations, and labor organizations on behalf of the committees, and if not, whether the covered individuals may participate in fundraisers for such funds. Agenda document 37 concludes that covered individuals may not solicit such funds, but that the covered individuals may attend, speak at, or be featured guests at fundraisers for the committees at which unlimited individual, corporate, and labor organizations are solicited, so long as the covered individuals do not solicit such contributions themselves. Agenda document 37A concludes that the covered individuals may solicit unlimited contributions from individuals, corporations, and labor organizations on behalf of the committees. And finally, Agenda Document 37-B concludes that while covered individuals may not solicit unlimited contributions from individuals, corporations, or labor organizations, covered individuals may solicit up to $5,000 from individuals and any other source not prohibited by the Act from making a contribution to political committees. This draft also concludes that the covered individuals may attend, speak at, or be featured guests at fundraisers for the committees, so long as the covered individuals restrict their solicitations to funds subject to the limitations, prohibitions, and reporting requirements of the Act. We received 5 comments on the request and 3 comments on the draft, as well as some ex parte communications. Thank you, and I will address any questions you may have.
Thank you, Council. Any discussion by commissioners or questions for Council? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make a comment on the revised draft A, which I will be supporting. In some ways, we are giving the requester more than he asked for, because I don't think he asked one of the questions that we're answering in here, but since it seems to have caused some confusion, the issue of whether office holders could solicit up to the federally permissible amounts, $5,000 for a PAC. You know, that wasn't part of the original request, and I tend to think that requesters get to choose what questions they want to ask and what questions they want to leave unasked, but I gather from the comment that we received on the revision that you're happy to have the answer to that question, particularly the way revised draft A answers it. So I don't think it was a very controversial answer, and I'm happy to provide it and to support revised draft A.
Any further comments? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you. I'm also in support of revised draft A. The question presented is if you have a PAC, and I guess we call them super PACs, or people call them super PACs, meaning a political committee that is only going to do independent expenditures, and therefore there's no contribution limits per the Speech Now decision and some other cases, I suppose. What if a member of Congress or a candidate wishes to solicit money? Can they do it? And if so, well, how much? You didn't really ask the if so, but it seems to be a it seems to flow from the request. It's not an easy question, because on the one hand you have a PAC that can accept unlimited money, but yet it files with the FEC. So it is subject to the reporting obligations of the Act. and another statute that says members of Congress and candidates can solicit money subject to the limits, prohibitions, and reporting requirements of the Act. But now this committee doesn't have source prohibitions, but a lot of the traditional ones are not there, and the limits are no longer there. So what does that mean? And the original draft A, I thought, sort of reached the right result, but the rationale, I thought, was okay, but it wasn't quite as crisp as I thought, because I thought the statute is something that needed a little more discussion. So I think we worked on revised draft A, and we ended up with something I think is a little bit more of a mechanical application of the statute. Because the statute itself governs the solicitation by the office holder or candidate, and I see that as a contribution limit. The reason why Speech Now works is to put a contribution limit on an independent spending group. It's essentially a backdoor spending limit, so it's not really a contribution limit because, well, there's no corruption or appearance thereof. Here, however, you have an office holder soliciting money, and that's a little bit different. So I think that the limit does apply. By analogy, I thought of maybe a state legislative race in Virginia has no limits, but yet a member of Congress can't raise anything goes. It has to be subject to the other limit, the candidate limit, and he asks, well, why? Well, because of the statute. Now, there are other arguments to this, and I'm not entirely sure that I'm absolutely correct here. The statute, it's cross-referenced, okay, so that maybe that means something, maybe it doesn't. It's in a little bit different section. I mean, there's different subparts of the statute. But at the end of the day, Citizens United, Emily's List, Speech Now, whatever case you want to pick that says you can give to a PAC without limits, does not address the ability of federal office holders and candidates to raise money for the PAC. And in fact, that issue was raised in some form in McConnell. McConnell upheld it at least on its face. I'm sure somewhere at some time someone will have an as-applied challenge that presents a factual situation that shows maybe it goes too far. Maybe a member of Congress who's going to retire and is not up for re-election, and the Congress hasn't adjourned sine die, but there's one vote left, wants to raise money for this PAC, so where's the corruption? Because, well, there's no votes left. I could see potential as applied, but that's not what we're doing here today. That seems something that would end up in court. Requester's not asking that. He's asking the much simpler question. And on the law as it appears on the books, the way I read it, the statute that regulates the ability of congressmen and candidates from raising money hasn't been touched directly by these court cases. There's probably other cases that one could argue have indirectly touched it. You may have an associational case. You may have an equal protection case. That's not before us today. That's for another day, and probably not a day that we're going to be a part of. It's probably going to be, someone's a court challenge or something. But for now, I think it makes sense to even though it's not specifically addressed, say they can at least raise up to five. Then they're clear, and then the PAC has a piece of paper that they can hand to potential solicitors to say, look, you're covered. The FEC has said this. And I think it reaches the right result. We've already done a rulemaking on and simplified the rules on federal office holder participation in events. It was confusing before. Parties had one rule. Others had another rule. It's been simplified about how you show up, what you can and can't do. I think the draft revised A ties it to the reg, so then you have that to go on. And I'm glad to see that we were able to come up with a draft that I think is the result that, well, the statute says should be the result. Logically, it's the result. And if somebody comes in with a different request with some other fact pattern and says, look, it goes too far in this case, I'm all ears, but that's not what we're here to do. That's not what we're here to do today. I intend on supporting revised draft A. Thank you.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, am planning to support revised draft A and for the reasons that have been articulated by others thus far. The question that was presented to us it certainly is an interesting one. And in recent years, we frequently talk about how much the campaign finance legal landscape has been dramatically altered as a result of a number of prominent court cases, most notably Citizens United. And the question here was whether or not those alterations were sufficiently seismic to allow federal office holders and candidates and party officers to basically make unlimited or to make solicitations of in unlimited amounts from individuals, corporations, labor unions. And as my colleague Commissioner McGann just pointed out, there really are two statutory provisions that we have to consider. There are the limits on what an entity may receive, which are set forth in 441A, subsection A, and then there are the limits on what a member or a candidate can solicit, and those are set forth in section 441I, subsection E. And most of the times, those limits will coincide. But as Commissioner McGann pointed out, not always. And he gave the example of the state legislative race in the state of Virginia. And this is also another case where I think that those limits diverge. Because while it is true that what we now call as super PACs have no limits on what they can receive, the provision which put limits on what an office holder or a candidate may solicit hasn't been touched. It wasn't brought up in Citizens United. It wasn't brought up in Speech Now. And this provision was upheld against a facial challenge in McConnell. So until there are further developments in the courts or unless Congress wanted to change that, there's not a lot we can do to change that. We really have no choice but to otherwise conclude that the limits that are set forth, in this case a $5,000 limit, that governs. And so that's where I think, again, a lot has changed, but not everything has changed. And I think at this point, unless and until there are further developments either in Congress or in the courts, I think that this is the correct conclusion. And so at the appropriate time, I plan on supporting revised draft A.
Thank you. Any further comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support draft A also. And even though it doesn't touch exactly, it goes a little beyond what the request is, I think it's only natural that we answer the questions.
Anything further? Vice Chair Hunter, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to approve Agenda Document 11-37B, which is revised Draft A.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
Congratulations, Mr. Elias. That doesn't happen too often.
In the room. We have just a couple of quick matters that I'd like to take a moment of perhaps personal privilege. First, I want to thank so many members of our staff who worked under unusual circumstances to make today go smoothly. Our secretary, Sean Wood-Hedworth, who just had her own little media frenzy, India Robinson and Judy Ingram, who made sure that as many people as possible could be in this room today, including many members of the press. And again, we welcome you all back at any time for further meetings. They worked so hard to make sure that everything went as smoothly as possible, and we really appreciate, on behalf of the Commission, I want to thank them for all of their hard work, given the unusual circumstances given today's meeting. And one last item, Brad Lipton has been serving with Commissioner Walther, Commissioner Weintraub, and I for the past year, although he has not been with the Commission quite as long as some of the others who have recently departed our agency. He has made incredible contributions to the work of the agency, and I know that all of us will miss his diligence, his hard work, his excellent writing, and his sense of humor. Brad is leaving us for good cause. He will be clerking in the fall for Judge John Bates in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, and the year after that, he will be clerking for Judge David Tatel on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. So, We will miss you. We assume that you would stay with us if not for these federal judges calling you. And as we do our best not to annoy federal judges here at the agency, we will send you with our best wishes. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to join in the thanks to Brad, who really has been a tremendous asset to our office and as a Yale man, besides. People come and people go around here, and some of them add more value than others. And Brad really did just throw himself into the work and was so excited to be working on rulemakings and things that I have to admit my eyes have started to glaze over when I look at some of these documents. And he brought new energy and new enthusiasm, and we're going to miss him. So thanks for everything, and I'm sorry we didn't get you a spot on the Colbert Show.
Commissioner Walter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree. I want to just say what a pleasure it's been to have you work with us. And from my perspective, it was just such a great fit. When he walked in the door the first time, he introduced himself, sat down, we had a nice chat, and he felt right at home, and I did too. And all the way through, it's just been a very comfortable relationship, very highly professional job, sense of humor. I think he even liked it. And so it really will be a loss for us, but also a pleasure to see where he's going. And I'm sure he'll really fit in both of those places and do a great job. And maybe someday he'll come back as commissioner.
So with our thanks, Brad, good luck with your future endeavors. Mr. Palmer, are there any management or administrative matters for the agency?
Madam Chair, there are none.
Thank you. With that, our meeting is adjourned.